One of the things we've been talking about discussing, because when it came up on the board again, contemplative prayer versus vocal prayer, but I realized we kept missing you to have this conversation. Because I think in the broadest sense, when I'm reading some things and before I really had a better understanding, I'm like, I don't understand. What contemplative prayer, do I just walk around gazing at the heavens? Like what is that? I say the Our Father out loud. I assume that's the vocal prayer portion. But then I wonder sometimes with contemplative prayer, maybe first you can go into the definitions before we start this. Am I doing it right? Because vocal prayer, you kind of have a rhythm and a knowledge. Todd is chuckling over here. But these are everyday Catholic questions, Todd, that you answered decades ago.
I didn't say a word. Oh, I did not say a word.
Okay, so I think I would say this. I mean, the idea of contemplative prayer, and I'd be interested to hear Todd's take on this too. And we're only talking about a nomenclature issue, like a defining the terms. Sometimes contemplative prayer, I think, is defined differently in different circumstances. So let me give a couple of definitions maybe that will help situate it. One, you know, you're right. Vocal prayer, we all know what that is. That would not necessarily be limited to rote prayers, right? Because I can have extemporaneous prayer that is vocal. So I'm not going to limit it to rote prayers. When I say rote prayers, everybody knows glory be our Father.
Memorized prayer.
Right, exactly. And so we could talk about them. And then devotional prayer, about like the rosary and things like that, right, which would be devotions. And that's a prayer, right? I mean, John Paul famously described the rosary as meditating on the life of Christ through the eyes of Mary. And I think that's a great description. I use that description often and attribute it to him. I think it's a wonderful description of the rosary, meditating on the life of Christ through the eyes of Mary. So there are those, right, the Divine Mercy Chaplet and various litanies and the rosary. And so you could say that's a form of a vocal prayer. So the rote prayers that we know, and then the devotional prayers and extemporaneous prayers, like this is what I just did to open the show, right? An extemporaneous prayer. There's no script. I didn't have a script in front of me. So that's all I would say captured in vocal prayer. Now, the other thing you actually asked about contemplative prayer, I would draw the distinction between that. This is sometimes where the distinction is drawn between mental prayer and contemplative prayer. And if you're going to draw that distinction, it would be that mental prayer is me situating myself. Ignatian prayer would be an excellent example, right? So I get a piece of scripture and I put it before me and I use that as a basis, a point of departure for trying to offer my prayers to God, to come and continue to God, have a conversation with God. And I use this as the basis for doing it. Right. So it would be a piece of sacred scripture. And I would look at that beforehand. It's not the amount of sacred scripture. That's not the point. The point of that is to give me some material through which to allow God to speak to me. I meditate on it. And if it's the Ignatian way, I'm thinking, okay, the Beatitudes, then he wants you to use your imagination and imagine yourself right there when our Lord is doing that. And maybe you're going to focus on one of the Beatitudes, which would probably be more helpful than all of them. Because again, you're just talking about allowing that communication to start, giving the Lord something to work through. So, you know, maybe the wind is hot that day, it's cold that day in your imagination. And maybe that's all part of this thing that you're trying to, you know, set a stage for. So that's all your effort in doing that. And it's wonderful. I'm not knocking it. I mean, I'm just situating to try to draw the distinction. But that would be mental prayer that I'm putting myself before the Lord. And I recommend to people, if you're going to do that, do a little research on that beatitude beforehand. I'm not talking crazy, but like a little commentary of, you know, 10 minutes to look it over before you actually get to the prayer time. Because if not, then you're consuming your prayer time with it, and it's still fresh. Whereas if you've done it beforehand, you're jogging around your mind a little bit. So once you get there, you're a little bit more familiar with it. At any rate, I digress. That would be mental prayer if people use that word, that I'm doing the work of getting prepared. And then contemplative prayer would be the idea that, okay, this is God speaking to me. And I don't have the, it's not my efforts anymore, but it's his part coming to me. So that's what I would say about contemplative prayer, but drawing the distinction. And I can't reach out and grab contemplative prayer. That's God's desire. That's when God's good time that he allowed that to happen. Now, what I would also say is this, if you're drawing the distinction between those two terms, I think if somebody doesn't feel like they, and you don't want to draw a hard line, but if you like, well, I don't feel like that was a contemplative prayer at all today, that's not a failure in prayer, right? That's just not a failure in prayer. Because as that goes, I think as the spiritual masters talk about it, contemplative prayer is not something, if you're going to make those distinctions and categories, contemplative prayer is not something that happens a tremendous amount. Like to get to that level of prayer in a session, in a time, whatever, it's not terribly common. But now if you're going to use contemplative prayer as an umbrella for all of that, well then great. Then I'm going to go do contemplative prayer today. But if you're going to draw the distinction, that would be most of the time mental prayer, getting ready, setting the stage, all that stuff. So that's a very broad brush way. If you look at Teresa of Avila, she'll have she's got her mountain in several different categories of prayer, a lot of different categories. So, but that's the broad distinction I would draw. So Todd, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on.
No, I think it's excellent, Father, because, for a lot of people, they do a great job as Catholics showing up. But I think the real struggle that a lot of people have in prayer is allowing God to change us. Like, I've met people, and this is not a put down. This is just individuals who have said their prayers for 50 years. And that's great. But then I'll say, well, what are the fruits of that prayer? And they'll be like, what do you mean? It's like, well, I mean, do I see more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you more loving, more kind, more patient, more generous, more gentle? Like, do I see the fruits of that prayer? I think people don't realize that prayer has a purpose. It has a purpose. And drawing us closer to Christ means that people will see more of Christ in us. And I think that's when we talk about contemplative and meditative or however else you want to define it. Because I remember giving a talk on the rosary one time. And I said, well, which of the mysteries wrecks you? And it was crickets. Like they looked at me like deer in the headlights. And these people, all 100% of them raised their hand when I said, how many of y'all pray the rosary every day? 100%. And I said, if you're really entering in as a meditative prayer, then one of those mysteries is going to grab your heart and bring you into the fire of Christ's love. But we have to allow that to happen. Does that make sense, Father?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And I just as a very practical example of that very thing, for me, the Passion of the Christ, that scene at the pillar, right, which was really graphic. Mm. And that's always helped me. And I don't think of the granular detail of that graphic sense about things every time I meditate on it. But to me, that was very helpful for the scourging of the pillar, because it had been, I knew what conceptually what that means. I mean, I get that. We all get scourged. Okay, scourging of the pillar. I know what it means to be scourged, or at least I conceptually get that. But to put that very graphic sense in my head, I'm like, oh, that didn't scar me. That was helpful for me. So even going forward, I haven't seen that scene in forever. But it does help me to ground that scene, when I'm praying it. So, I mean, I think that's some sense of what you're talking about. Like, okay. And that helps you to enter into that scene. And maybe that moves you, maybe it doesn't. But I'm with you on that. I mean, I think if you're meditating on these different ones, and I understand it from polling, they say that the sorrowful mysteries are the most popular for people. And I think I could get that because those are all very earthy, aren't they? They're very earthy. I mean, agony in the garden. I mean, he's sweating blood. And okay, that's a very rare circumstance, but we can all understand being nervous, being filled with anxiety, however you want to describe that, which is theologically proper to Christ, whatever that is. We all get that. And then, and then the scourging of the pillar, like, okay, we kind of get that. And the crowning with thorns. These are all very earthy things, I think, where people can sink their teeth into. But also it does show something of like, oh, this helps me to process Christ's sacrifice for me. And that's great. Whereas I'm not knocking this. I'm not knocking any of the mysteries, but I just think it's easier to hold on to them and to enter into those scenes than like the Assumption. okay. I mean, it's there, but I have to say, like, that's not one of my ones, like, oh, I can really sink my teeth into that. I have to work a little more, like, assumptions. She's assumed into heaven.
Okay,
you know, or the coronation. Like,
yeah, that,
like, what does the coronation look like? You know, like, okay, I don't, you can't really sink your teeth into the coronation. It's good. I'm glad it's there. Queen of heaven and earth. Yes, yes, yes. Our mother. Yes. You know, biblical theme, biblical, I get typology. Love it all. Love it all. Love it all. Love it all. But I'm on those 10 Hail Marys. I'm like, the coronation. Okay. You know, it's just a little bit, that's just my puny take on the thing. So, and by comparison, I'll give you one that I really like. I like the, I like the Ascension. Why? Because, and I think the Ascension kind of doesn't get, I think, as much press as it should. They're all important. I just don't think people emphasize it as much. But when you think about the presentation, the Ascension, our Lord ascends into heaven. What, just to have a pina colada with God the Father? No, to present his offering, right? To present his offering to Christ for all eternity. Mm. I mean, that's what we hear. That's what Hebrews tells us. That's what Revelation tells us. And I think that's important because that's kind of what goes on at Mass, right? We enter into that, the unbloody sacrifice. We enter into that. So if you think about the Ascension, ascending to heaven, like, oh, this is what we do at Mass. We enter into this offering to the Father. Anyway, I like that tie. For me, that's very good. I mean, I'm a priest, but a lot of people go to Mass a lot. And I mean, we all go to Mass every Sunday. That's the precept of the church. But for those that go more often, this, I think it's helpful to process that very fundamental act of worship that we have. I'm like, oh, this is us entering into that. You know, I mean, the whole idea of I'm giving the gift to the Father. And it's like Christmas morning. You're giving the gift to the person you want to. Like, maybe I made this gift, right? And it was hard. I've talked about it on the show before. Making the gift was very hard, maybe. Maybe Todd makes this wooden toy for his grandchild. Making the toy is difficult. Giving it to him is delight, you know? And so Christ has died on the cross. He's giving it to the Father. Is he still suffering those wounds? No, that's been done. Now he's giving the gift to the Father. And we join in that. I mean, that's a great thing. So, I mean, that's why I think that for me, the Ascension is something which a lot of people may think is innocuous. I think that's very helpful for me personally. Mm. So anyway, Todd, I'm very proud. There you go.
Consumed
all our time on that. Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, it was okay. Beautiful, Father.
It really
beautiful.
Was. Can we get a blessing before you leave?
Sure. May Almighty God bless all who are listening. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Father.
Thanks, Father.
You bet, Todd. Talk to you all next week.
Bye. David Bonagura is joining us next. Beauty in the Power of the Holders. And we'll see what that's about. Stay with us.